So as God gathers us in for a chance to continue to give thanks for His presence in our life, we come to the end of our journey through the book of Jeremiah, looking at all that we can learn from this great mentor, from His timeless message that's been poured down through the ages, touching lives, changing hearts, bringing new life, and helping people to recognize what God was doing in their midst in all kinds of different ways. Today's message won't come from the end of the book of Jeremiah, which ends by making it clear that it was a message for all people, not just for a certain nation, not just for a certain time, but for all of us and for all nations and all times and all places. But we're going to end with a powerful promise of hope, a sign of hope that would be emerging right here in chapter 23, in the middle of all the chaos that was happening, in the middle of all of that world that was falling apart. But before we turn to Jeremiah, I want to share with you a story. A story that talks a little bit about we've been singing about that great harvest and that God brings in, harvest of lives, but also the harvest that we share in lives. And harvest, as we talked a couple weeks ago, just doesn't happen by accident. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of planting. It takes a lot of nurturing. It takes a lot of sweat. It takes a lot of tears to bring a crop alive. There was a man who set out to plant himself an orchard. He cut away all the brush that was there. He dug out the larger rocks that were growing there. It must have been in Vermont somewhere. And he began to get that soil ready to plant a crop of trees. And so he started with all these little seedlings. And he put them together and he built beautiful fences around them. He worked day and night to fight off the animals that would just love to turn them into a midnight snack. And he watched with great pride and with great delight as his orchard came alive. And each year these trees would grow a little bit. The leaves would come out in spring. They'd fall off in the winter. And eventually from in the middle of the leaves, somewhere underneath it all, there would be little apples that would begin to grow. And there was nothing greater than seeing those buds that emerged in the spring and watching them begin to turn into apples and watching them come alive as they gained more and more moisture and more life and became fatter and fuller and eventually would be able to share them with others. In the middle of the garden, in the middle of his orchard, there was one tree that he loved the most. Whether it was because it was protected by all the rest that it grew the best, who knows? But he loved it because it was the largest one in all his land. It was the one that really produced the best, the most apples, the best apples, the ones that he really set aside for his closest friends. And he shared that harvest each and every time that it came. But he didn't know that all that time, all that work that he was putting into it, somewhere along the line, there was all this other stuff that was getting mixed in with the life of this tree. There was all these chemicals finding their way into the tree through its roots. There was chemicals finding its way into the tree through the rain that would fall. The birds that would land in its branches and build nests would bring all kinds of stuff with it. And while he didn't seem to notice all of this going on, it was changing that tree from the inside out. And it wasn't until one morning when he woke up after a very windy night, one of those nights that you'd read about in something like a book like Winnie the Pooh, on that very blustery day, that he saw his favorite tree laying on the ground. That storm had been the last straw in the life of his tree. It had blown it over. And as he wandered out with tears and sadness in his eyes, and he thought about all the work and all the years of work he put into this orchard, he couldn't help but notice, but he looked at that stump and he looked at the trunk of that tree, that it was hollow on the inside. All of those years, while it was producing beautiful fruit, because of all the other stuff that was getting mixed in there with it, it was rotting from the inside out. It broke his heart as he cut that tree up one limb at a time and turned it into firewood, turned it into wood that he'd use the next summer when he'd gather family and friends for a pig roast. And he thought about life and he thought about things and he thought about how so much of the important things in life are what's going on inside. And he watched as the snow began to cover the ground. And he watched as that trunk began, that stump began to rot away over a couple of winters. And he wondered what to do with it, but he wasn't quite in a place where he could find a grinder that it would make its way up to it. So he just left that stump there, and the grass grew up around it. Bushes grew up around it from time to time. There were times when he was discouraged and he didn't know if he wanted the orchard to go on. But suddenly, one spring morning, after the snow had melted away, before the leaves had come onto the bushes that were growing there, while the lawn was still covered with all of those little trails that are left by the moles running beneath the snow, he looked at that stump as a branch began to grow. It wasn't a very big branch, but it had bright leaves that began to emerge from it. And so he wondered what would happen next. He wondered what would take the place of that tree that he had loved so much as this new life began to emerge. In a very real way, this is what's been going on, what we've been looking at in the life of the Hebrew nation, of what we call Israel, the Jewish people that are revealed in this Old Testament. God had created people in God's image. God had been with them as they had grown up. God had wandered into Egypt with them and led them to freedom. He had wandered with them through the desert for over 40 years, watching entire generations pass away, only to lead them to a promised land filled with all kinds of people that they didn't understand. And he also walked with them as they became a great nation, a nation that was feared throughout the area, had great powerful armies, had great and powerful kings, David, Solomon. And he also walked with the people as other kings began to take their places. Kings that really were looking out for themselves. He walked with them as the temple was filled with priests who sometimes got their motives mixed up. He walked with the people as they forgot about the God who had been so faithful to him through the years. This is the world that Jeremiah is speaking to. In spite of all that had been going on the surface, Jeremiah saw that the people were, that the nation was coming apart from the inside out. That their very core was becoming soft and rotten, and that one day they would fall. We talked early on about how Jeremiah prophesied about that fall. How he told the people time and time again about it in all kinds of different ways, and they didn't want to hear it. We've looked at how as the people went into exile, as their lives began to be shredded and torn apart and sent into different lands, that God continued to reach out to them. And that God, even in the midst of this time, had a plan for them and would do a new thing. And so here's another one of those stories, those visions that he shared with the people. Another word right straight from God. "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend to them. They will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. So then the days are coming, declares the Lord, when people will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt. But they will say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the descendants up out of the land of the north and out of all the countries where he had banished them. Then they will live in their own land." What a promise of revenge God offers to those that have been leading people astray. Again, the Israel was rotting from the inside out because of contamination that was coming from all different places. We've looked at all kinds of different places that it came from. But here he says, I'm going to hold the leaders accountable for their place in it too. And my revenge on them is going to be this. I'm going to gather all the people back together again. I'm going to take all these people that ended up in a far off land and I'm going to put them back together in one place. I'm going to take this nation that was divided into two separate countries. I'm going to put them together again. Somewhere in the middle of it all, out of this stump that's lying on the ground that everybody's looking at, wondering when it'll be rotten away and forgotten, right out of there is going to come a brand new branch. It's going to come out of the line of David. It's going to come out of this imperfect line, because David was a man that was known after God's, it was a man who was known for being after God's own heart. But David was far from a perfect man. David was a man that was filled with flaws and made mistakes and paid dearly and dearly for some of those mistakes. He lived a life that was filled with strife and struggle and great joy as well, because of his relationship with God. And he says, out of this line, out of this stump that's been cut off, this nation that he was such a part of, that's been cut off, is going to come this new righteous branch. Looking back on that time, many in our faith have come to teach the fact that that righteous branch would be Jesus. He says he's going to be known as the Lord, our righteousness. He's going to be known as the one who makes everything right with God. That even though the people can't make things right with God, even though all the king's horses and all the king's men are never going to be able to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, he's going to be able to put it all back together again. Jesus comes to do this in the lives of a nation. Jesus comes to do this in the lives of his people. Jesus comes to do this in our lives each and every day. Jeremiah makes it clear that this is going to be a life-changing experience, a life-changing event. You know, we mark our history in our nations by the different events that happen. We talk about the world in light of the view that came following World War II and Pearl Harbor in particular. We mark our nation's history in the way that it's changed since September 11th and all that happened. This is what Jeremiah is saying about this event. He's saying everybody's been talking about the fact that God went into Egypt and led the people up out and set them free. But now they're going to talk about the time when God went into all these other places and brought the people back. Those that were being abused and banished in all kinds of different lands. Those who were separated from their families in exile. Those who owned land that they couldn't enjoy anymore, that they would be able to come back into that place and enjoy their inheritance once again. He was saying this was one of those moments in history, periods in history, that people were going to talk about forever. Today we continue to journey through that into that season of Thanksgiving. And then into Advent, and then into Christmas. In other words, the race is on. It's here. If you've watched the news, if you've been in the stores, if you've watched the things that are happening around us, we know that it has come. Jeremiah reminds us that it's what's going on the inside is what's really important. That we need to look in there and to pay attention to what God is doing, and to remember that all that stuff that gets in there and mixes up our life and wants to eat at us from the inside out, that Jesus is the one who makes it right again. That it's even in the most broken and difficult places of our life that those new branches emerge. Advent is a time that it's easy to get caught up in the busyness of everything going on around us, to look at what's happening on the inside. But it's really a time that we ought to slow down and to look on the inside to see where those new branches are emerging. To see where you see God coming alive in your life in a fresh new way. Where you're called to step out in faith in some new opportunity. To grow in some way. To experience God's grace in a different way. Today, as we move through the Christian calendar, this Sunday before Advent has been called for many, many years Christ the King Sunday, a time when we remember that Jesus is a king of all, the King of Kings, and he's king in all times, in all places, and he's called to be a king in our lives. But yet he's not a king who rules on a throne that we can't get near. He's a king who comes to walk beside us and invites us to come and to walk through his kingdom with him. who, as Paul said, is qualified to share in all the gifts that come with that kingdom. So it's my prayer that as we move into this Advent season, we'll slow down, and each of us will slow down in our own way, in a fresh new way, in a different way than we have some other year. That we'll walk with the King of Kings and let Him show us what it is that He wants to teach us about His kingdom. That somewhere along the way we'll recognize those new branches that are rising up in our spiritual lives. I'm praying that as we move through this Advent season, as we prepare to celebrate Christmas, that it'll be one of those times when we look back on and say, that's when God changed my life. That's when God did a new thing. I pray that as we move into a new year, that we'll be able to celebrate those things in some new way. But as for now, let's join our hearts together, our minds together in prayer. Good and gracious God, You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. Lord Jesus, You're the one who makes everything right. We pray that You would continue to be at work in our lives. We thank You for the ways we've been able to journey together through the book of Jeremiah. We thank You for seeds that have been planted and for trees that have been watered and for the way Your word has come alive in different ways in each of our lives. As we give thanks to You for Your presence in our life and we move into this week of Thanksgiving, we pray that You'll help us to continue to find ways to share those stories of Your presence in our life with one another. We pray that as we move into the season of Advent, You'll come alongside of us and we'll hear Your invitation to walk among the kingdom and to see what You would have us see. We pray that You would help us grow in a fresh and new and mighty way. Lord, I thank You for Your grace and for Your mercy, for Your timeless faithfulness that allows You to meet each and every one of us right where we're at, right here today. So come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and walk with us today as we ask all of this and so much more. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.